You can visit LenoreSpeaksOut.com. You can also go to our website to watch Cecilia Peck, the director, talk about her own legendary father, Gregory Peck, the actor. The film has yet to get a distributor. We interviewed them just after a sneak preview at the film at the Athena Film Festival at Barnard College last week. If you'd like a copy of today's show, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkaff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Martina Starosta, Nemo Allen. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Massey for another edition of Democracy Now!
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook, 2 minutes after 6 o'clock, time for Off the Wall. And a very giving, very bright program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Yet another abbreviated program, but I believe this is the last time, I think. I looked at the schedule. I don't think there's any more games, but we'll see. So we're only on for 45 minutes tonight. I apologize for that. We will try and take phone calls. We're going to try and do that. We actually are. We really will. I know it's been a long, long time, but we definitely want to get to that. Kyle's here as well. Are you going to say anything? Just sit on the floor and look at me. Hi.
Hi.
It's raining outside. It's one of those crazy days where you don't know what's going to happen next. What do you think of the meteorite, huh? That's something.
It was pretty spectacular. Had a lot more of an impact than you think.
Is that supposed to be a pun? An impact? Well, yeah, it landed in a frozen lake. And it's a good thing it landed in a frozen lake as opposed to, you know, a frozen mall or something. Or, you know, some kind of place where people might be. Nobody was killed. But boy, have you seen the videos of this thing? Explosions and windows breaking and things like that. And they say it's the biggest object from the rest of the universe in over 100 years to come to our planet.
Yeah, there's shockwaves, several shockwaves, and huge amounts of glass broken because of it.
Yeah, and they say that, when they say it exploded in the air, does that mean it exploded, or it was a supersonic sound blast? What do you think it is? I don't really know these.
Yeah, I'd really love to find a good read of what actually happened to it, because you can say, yeah, it's an explosion, yeah, but that may be just a description of the sound, but actually what caused it? Was it hitting the atmosphere? Because the other thing is, when you look at some of the videos, like the dash cam, it like comes in really low. You got to understand, that's really still quite far away.
Yes.
And it's, you know, because it's at the horizon, and it's hard to judge. And then when it actually comes in, like, what causes those shockwaves? Is it the atmosphere, or is some other meteorological, like, property much lower, or because it was not on the ground, it wasn't anything physical that it hit. So, and it's going at like what, 30,000 miles per second or something?
Well, no, I don't know if it's going
per
that
hour.
Fast.
This is really fast.
Heavy, yeah,
miles per hour. It,
yeah, but
kilometers per hour.
People didn't know what it was. They just saw this this giant object. I guess it was really kind of baffling. Really, no one on the planet has ever seen anything like this before. We can honestly say that. And it has not happened in over 100 years. The last time it happened in Russia again, too, 1900-something. But, of course, there were no cameras going then, no video recorders that captured it. This time, we were a bit more alert, and we were able to capture numerous times the effects. And it was as surprising to me watching the video, seeing the shockwave hit and all the glass break. I guess, you know, you wouldn't expect that. You just see this giant object in the sky. You don't know what it is. You don't expect the shockwave to come as well. But according to the New York Times, it sheared the roof off of a brick and steel factory building, and then it left a nearby glass facade unscathed. Glasses in high-rises and factories and all kinds of other places were blown out, and about 1,000 people injured. Now, they say more ominously, reports came into local news media over the weekend of strange phenomena. Behind unshattered apartment windows, glass jugs were said to explode into shards. Imagine that. The window didn't explode of the building, but glass jugs exploded. Dishes cracked, electronics died, balconies rattled. One man said a bottle broke right in his hand. Yeah, so it was something else. We don't get all the good things. Russians always get the good things. We never get meteorites coming here. I can only imagine what it would be like if we did, and how we'd handle it, and how the mass media would handle it. But right now, over there, people are collecting black rocks. They're finding fragments of the meteor, and they're trying to sell it on eBay and various other places, while the authorities are trying to grab it as quickly as possible and prevent them from doing that, because who knows what kinds of secrets are hidden in there. Maybe it was extraterrestrial life visiting us. We'll never know.
It might be radioactive, too, and dangerous, but
could be.
Yeah.
Could be. And something else that doesn't happen every day. In fact, I don't think this has happened for 600 years. I've already started on a roll here. You want to interrupt me now? Go ahead.
Well, it
ruined my whole effect, but go ahead.
Isn't it a UFO?
It's not a UFO if they identify it.
All right, fine. But they didn't see it coming. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, so it only happens once every 600 years, and maybe in the year 2600 now I'll be able to say this again. Thank you, Kyle.
Sorry. Go on, I'm listening, I swear.
It's been deflated. There's no way I can say this without sounding like a fool. Every 600 years, apparently, a pope resigns, and that happened. That's what I was leading up to. Pope Benedict resigned last week. We actually missed it a week ago because we only had a 45-minute show, and we had to race through it. But what do you think about that, Kyle? Every 100 years, we get a meteor. Every 600 years, a pope resigns.
Sure.
Sure, really? That's all you got to say about this?
Yep.
Okay, wonderful. This is going to be a long 45 minutes. Pope Benedict XVI announced a week ago Monday that he would resign on February 28th, that's the end of this month, because he was simply too busy to be a pope anymore. Oh, no, I misread that. I'm sorry. Too infirm to carry on. All right, easy mistake to make.
No, it's because he opened a Twitter account and he became too busy.
Well, it does take a lot of time.
Yeah.
And you have to respect that. So the decision sets the stage for a conclave to elect a new pope before the end of March. So that means we're going to be popeless for the month of March. Well, we'll have a spare pope lying around or sitting around, whatever he does. And then we'll have two popes, which, again, is kind of weird, an ex-pope and an existing pope.
That's not weird. In fact, that's really common. There's a lot of types of families that have two dads and like
two
leaders,
popes,
two male leaders. Yeah.
No, I wasn't saying that was rare in and of itself. The Pope of the Catholic Church, you know, that's kind of rare to have two of them.
No,
in
it's
the same
2013.
Time.
There's all kinds of types of families.
Well,
the
okay.
Church is no exception.
Well, apparently not. So he will be the ex-pope in just a few days, actually. And what do you think? What do you think the new pope's going to come from? Did we mention this last week? I thought we wanted to talk about this last week, but we didn't talk about it in depth if we did. I was saying how I think Brazil's going to get it because they're getting everything lately. They're getting the World Cup. They're getting the Olympics. So why not get the pope as well? I know I was going off on a rampage somewhere about that.
And Catholicism is very big down there.
It's
very
popular.
They've got the largest Jesus Christ.
Yes, they do. And that counts for something. In the Vatican, they definitely give you a check mark for having the biggest Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also Africa. Imagine an African pope, a black pope. That's never happened either.
That would be really cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be very different.
Uh-huh. Or an American pope. That's even possible, too. They're saying the Cardinal of New York City could possibly be the pope. That's just too damn much responsibility for New York, I think.
Do they campaign?
I'm not sure when the campaign begins, but it gets pretty brutal at times.
Is it like a political?
It's awful. It puts political campaigns in this country to shame because they dig up all kinds of dirt and there's all sorts of TV ads and then the debates, of course. That just goes on for a long time.
And then the pundits and the
Wolf Blitzer is on 24 hours a day, it seems, talking about this pope versus that pope, and it's not looking forward to this at all. But at least it's not likely that the next pope will be a Nazi like this one was. Oh, yeah, I went there. I went there. I said it. I said it before, so I might as well say it again. He was a Nazi. I mean, yeah, he said it wasn't a good idea. He didn't like being a Nazi, or he was like the one kid out of all the others that went against it. But he did serve as a child.
Yeah.
But every child served back then, so, yeah, I know, it's a little bit unfair.
It's not like there were a whole bunch of other youth clubs to kind of hang out.
No. No, there wasn't much to do back then except
doesn't make him any less of a
people.
Nazi, though.
It doesn't make him a Nazi now.
No,
but
no.
He was
no.
a Nazi then.
Or any less of one then, yeah, I guess
right.
That's what I meant.
New magazine? You want to tell us about this?
Oh, man, I am so excited about this. Whew.
We have nothing to do with that. About that. This is not our magazine.
No,
another
no.
Magazine.
No, this isn't our magazine, but it seems that Long Island Fugitive Finder...
Oh, that's a classic magazine.
Yeah, it seems it has become so popular. Got the latest edition right here, Volume 7, Issue 2. And there's a lot of really interesting criminals and fugitives in here.
They really are. And when you get to know them, too,
yeah.
There's so much they have to say and to contribute.
Yep.
And,
like Most Wanted number 447.
Uh-huh.
And Most Wanted number...
Oh, well, that's not really fair. He's not the 447th Most Wanted.
Sorry.
If he's listening, I don't want him to feel bad about that, because it's just I don't know if it's an alphabetical list or just a randomly generated list by the magazine. And if you're on the front cover, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're the most wanted. It just means you're the most photogenic. So,
right.
You know, there's a lot of competition, a lot of bad feelings amongst fugitives. And I just want to make sure that people realize, we're all in this together.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So it's a way of identifying them as you go through the magazine, and you can just write down all the ones that you hang out with or that you see. Anyway, I have the great honor to announce a different kind of magazine, but it's also one and the same. It's Long Island Pet Finder. Yes, Long Island Pet Finder.
It looks exactly the same. In fact, even the covers look the same. They look like the same person, sort of.
Yeah, and I have right here Volume 1, Issue 2,
uh-huh.
February 2013.
Which means it began last month.
And featured on this month's cover
uh-huh.
is Lucky from North Shirley, New York. I can read a little bit about Lucky.
Well, Lucky's not so lucky if Lucky's missing. Well, maybe Lucky is lucky if the place that they're missing from isn't a good place.
Lucky came to us when she was just over 2 months old, and now looking back at the 12 years we've had with her, I can honestly say that I don't know how we lived without her goofy, fuzzy self before that.
How are they living now, then?
From singing happy birthday with us at each and every one of our birthday parties, that's howling in parentheses, but as much as a dog could sing, I guess, to shoving her way through our legs when she wanted a good back scratch, to her very slobbery kisses when we walk through the front door. Lucky will forever be our baby girl, and we consider ourselves beyond grateful for having been able to be a part of her life. And she's the winner. Congratulations to Lucky. Why is she a winner?
She's a winner of the most lost dog.
One winner of the Pet of Month contest will be selected each month based on the number of votes. Winning pet by number of votes will be featured in the next scheduled print edition of the magazine. By entering the contest, registrants agree to allow their pet photos to be featured in the print and online versions. How is she a winner? So maybe she's
have
not
to be
lost,
lost,
but there's other ones in here. That
no,
are
she's on the front cover. She's lost. That's a lost dog there. That's a lost dog. And also a winner, but a lost dog that's a winner. And I don't know if you have to be lost to be a winner.
I'm trying to find that rule.
Well, I mean, it's the cover of the thing that says most wanted pets. I'm sorry, not most... What's the name of the magazine again?
Long Island Pet Finder.
Pet Finder. Okay, I'm looking at the Fugitive Finder. And in the interest of equal time, since you're reading information about the front cover of that magazine, I'd like to read the information about the front cover of this magazine. Suffolk's most wanted is Christian Larares. He's wanted for assault second degree. Being sought by Suffolk County Police on one outstanding warrant for assault second degree, July 29, 2012. He, along with another subject, stabbed a man during a fight on Oak Street in Copaig, and an arrest warrant was issued for him on December 6, 2012, last seen in the company of a dog named Lucky. Now, there will be crossovers between these two magazines. I'm certain of that.
I stand corrected. Lucky simply won the cover here.
You're saying Lucky's not missing
Lucky
at all?
Lucky may not be lost. Now, that's different from Fugitive Finder, because... definitely, the person on the cover of Fugitive Finder is not a winner. He's on there because he's a fugitive.
That's kind of cruel, Carl.
But I don't see anywhere in here where Lucky is missing.
Why would you... I mean, he's not a winner. I mean, come on.
Why would you even enter your dog in Pet Finder?
He had a bad hair day, that's for sure, but I see potential here. I see potential. Okay, Pet Finder, that tells me the dog's lost. We should have done our research. Well, the research team here should have done their research, but let's not get into that on the air. Let's just agree to disagree with everything and come back to this. Are any other pets that you'd like to focus on?
Well,
there was only one cat in the whole thing.
Zoe and
I had a question about that one. Those are two dogs together. Did they both get lost at the same time? Did they run away together? How is that even possible?
Dexter and Zoe, yeah.
Yeah, they're pictured together.
Yes.
So how did two dogs get lost at the same time from the same house?
I'm not sure.
There's a lot going on here. I'm sorry. We have to move quicker because we are running out of time. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go into delay so that we can immediately take phone calls, because I know we've been remiss in this over the past few weeks. So let me meet you guys in delay after I throw the appropriate switches. And then we will take phone calls. Once we get to delay, that's when we will announce the telephone number.
This is Neil Kaiser of Skinny Puppy, and you're listening to Long Island's first station of the 90s, 90.1 FM, WVSB, Stony Brook.
And here we are. We made it to delay. At least I think we did. And I might as well tell people at this point that the phone number for us is 631 631-632-6901. 631-632-6901. If you're anywhere in the world you'd like to talk to us, you'd like to be on the air, you'd like to reach Suffolk County, New York, and the Internet, then by all means, call 631-632-6901. Did you make it to delay, Kyle?
Yes, I'm here, and you know what? I'm gonna report back on Pet Finder. There's actually some more research we have to do exactly what it is for. But there are lots of pets listed, and a lot of really interesting write-ups on how the pets are amazing pets. But no information about whether it's actually a lost pet or not, and it's Pet Finder, so. This is really confusing.
Anyway, that magazine.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
I just want to try and see if they have maybe a statement of purpose or something like that. I see Pet Finder contest rules. I see the fact that Newfoundlands have webbed feet, and that apparently is what makes them good swimmers. That's a fact that you can learn by picking up this magazine. And I see one cat, but I don't see...
Again.
Oh, and you know what? Oh, my God. Kyle, this is bigger than we thought. There are more magazines. There's Long Island Job Finder. There's Long Island Apartment Finder. There's Long Island Pet Finder, which is this, and Long Island Fugitive Finder.
Okay, so clear this up, then.
Four magazines.
But there's people that have pets. Obviously, they're happy. So why would they sell them if the pets are not indeed lost? And then if they are indeed lost, where exactly in there does it give you, like, if I find this particular pet, who do I call? It just says call for advertisement. So I'm very, very confused. We're going to do some more research, and we'll come back with a report.
Yeah, we're sorry for the confusion here, but that's what happens when you have a lot of magazines. You get very confused. But, yeah, there's four things you could find, a job, an apartment, a pet, or a fugitive. Your choice, I guess. Four great publications and websites covering one great island where all kinds of things need to be found. Wow. Well, I learned something today.
Yes.
Sure did. Okay, we have a phone call, so let's go up to the phone and see who is joining us. Good evening. You are on Off the Wall.
Emmanuel.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from PA.
PA, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. Well, it's a big state. Are you calling from the eastern part where Philadelphia is or the western part where Pittsburgh is?
Harrisburg.
That's the middle, isn't it? Okay, well, what's on your mind?
I was calling to ask about how the move is going for Off the Hook.
Oh, well, you're calling to ask about the other radio station. Well, you know what? It's interesting. Tomorrow will be our first show from the other location, which is in Harlem. We're moving from Wall Street to Harlem. And that move took place, I believe it took place yesterday, sort of. And, you know, on our way to this radio show, we were listening to WVAI, and they weren't on the air. So I don't know what's going on. All I know is it's going to be epic, historic. We don't know what's happening, and tomorrow's show should be worth listening to.
Well, you know, I definitely will listen.
Okay, cool. Anything else on your mind?
Not really.
Okay.
I have some questions for, like, the other people from the other show, so I guess I'll save those for tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, assuming we're on the air. Actually, you know what? We're not taking phone calls because it's a fundraiser, so you might as well ask the question now.
If you could ask Bernie, yes. He has, like, a bee farm, right?
He is involved with bees somehow, and, you know, it's kind of cagey about it, no pun intended, but he has bees, I think, or he works with bees, or bees work with him, or something like that. But what would you like me to ask him about the bees?
I was wondering if he does have a bee farm, if he like sells the honey.
If he sells the honey or keeps it all for himself, I could ask him. I could ask him and report the answer back somehow.
Awesome.
You can also write to the radio show oth@2600.com, just like you can write to this one otw@2600.com.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, and greetings to all of Harrisburg.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
All right, take care. Again, 631-632-6901 is our telephone number. Yesterday, this, Kyle, I got my one of my bills. I did this whole health kick a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, the usual physical, blood work, all that kind of thing. And, you know, I have what I call theoretical insurance, where it sort of works. It sucks. It's terrible. I have something like a $3,000 deductible,
mm-hmm.
which supposedly allows you to get low cost insurance. Except the insurance isn't low cost anymore. It's equivalent to other insurance. I got to look for something better. What it basically means is that they don't cover anything until you reach $3,000. So
hey, my deductible is like $7,000.
Well, yeah, but somehow they cover things for you. And also, what you pay out there in Washington is something like a fifth what I pay here, which
True.
Is insane. But anyway, so I just got the thing from the laboratory, and they're telling me how much it actually costs to do the blood work. And the total charge was $393.19, of which the insurance paid about $20. Yeah, they paid about $20 out of $393.19. But get this, and this is the magic about the American insurance
system.
Before
they launder it.
Yeah, they launder it. They launder they do something. There is in quotes, they should put it in quotes, an insurance
right.
discount of $332.06, meaning that I only have to pay $40. But the thing is, it costs $393 to start with, and then the insurance pays $20, and then because there was insurance involved at some point, all of a sudden the price goes way down, and they lob another $332 off of it. Now, if I didn't have insurance, I'd have to pay the full $393.19. It doesn't make any sense, because the people who can least afford it are the ones paying the most. And just because I have insurance that doesn't cover it means that I pay less. It's not covered by insurance. It's covered by fraud, I guess, or something. Just corruption.
It's like Walmart having like the right to set their own terms on products. It's like a big box discount. They deal big with the medical companies, and then they get to set their terms, and they get their big discounts because they have all kinds of people wrapped into their system, and you're just the end user, and you don't have any clout like they do.
Yeah, I guess that's it. But that's a real eye-opener to how the insurance works here. If anybody can explain it better, please let us know.
Curious.
Did you see we had a full bank of phone calls? We have one left here. 631-632-6901. Yeah, call back if you got disconnected. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Hey, pretty good. Where are you calling from?
Good. I'm in Quorum right now.
Quorum, New York, right here on Long Island.
Yeah, I've been listening for many, many years, too many years to mention, and I still can't figure out what's the best cell phone service to get that's not going to rip me off. And what do you think about this big Second Amendment debate? Like, I don't see why every citizen shouldn't be allowed to keep a musket.
Okay. Well, we have not actually been devoting very much time to the whole gun debate. No, that's not true at all.
But wasn't arms a musket back then? I mean,
yes, it was a bayonet, musket,
yeah,
all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get a hold of those things.
I'm practically a communist, but I'm perfectly in favor of everyone owning a musket if they feel the need.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I only imagine the Founding Fathers with assault weapons, how things might have turned out back then. Let's get to your first question about cell phones. I don't know. You know, it's part of their charter that they have to try and rip you off. That's like just the agreement. So it really depends on something like reception. What do you get the best reception where you are, etc., and how much of the phone
use? I
just
use it as a phone. I can't even see the buttons, and but I just use it as a phone, and it still seems like a total ripoff. And I remember you guys teaching me a lot of stuff when it used to be, you know, regular Ma Bell landlines. And
well, do you still have a landline?
Yes.
Okay, and that should be worthwhile to keep, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to give up the cell phone and just, you know, look at my answering machine in the evening.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. There's a lot of different options. One thing you might do is just buy an unlocked phone or something just really simple that you could use on any different network, and then just buy the SIMs, and you could try all the different networks to see what the reception's like. And if you went back and forth for a long time, you could use like call forwarding services so that you can keep one number and then just change the number and have it forwarded to whatever different SIM card you're using or different thing. And that's a little bit more like pay as you go. You're not really tied into any contracts, but the hardware is yours. And because it would be unlocked, you could use it across GSM networks and stuff like that. That's a couple ideas I'd have just, in brief, but there's a lot of different things you could do.
All right, because I see my kids use, like, some application, Uvu, and it doesn't even cost them any money.
Yeah, well, apps are a whole different ball game there. You know, people just get very drawn into their phones constantly, wherever they happen to be. And, you know, I just don't have that many opportunities to devote time to that. So I ask myself, what do I actually need? Turns out I don't need very much. I need to be able to answer a phone call if I'm on the road, and I don't need to be able to do other things. So I keep it very simple, and I have landlines in other places, so people able to understand what I'm saying, which is good.
All right. Well, I'll try what the other guy said. I'll try a few different services, see what's the cheapest and the one that works the best in this area. And if I ever trade in my air guns for muskets, I'll give you a call and let you know how that goes.
All right. Good luck with that. Thanks. Thanks for the call.
Good night. Great show. Thank you.
Thank you. And greetings to all of Corum. And let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please. Turn down your radio. Come back to the phone. Anyone there? All right. You know, we can't stay around forever. That's for sure. Hey, Kyle, I got a surprise for you. You know, there was a rampage today. Another gunman. In Southern California. It's hardly in the news at all. It's such,
really?
So boring. It's not, yeah, we look at the news and we don't even see these things. But yeah, residents of several Orange County communities awoke to streets littered with yellow crime scene tape on Tuesday after a gunman killed three people and injured at least three more before killing himself at the end of a shooting and carjacking rampage, according to law enforcement officials. They say this is an isolated event, we believe, by someone who went on a rampage. There is no more threat to the community. Except for all the other people that are going to go on rampages, too, because they have a bad day and they have access to all these weapons and things like that. It's just, yeah, isolated events, but they, you know, how many isolated events are there going to be?
Yeah, we all don't get what we want out of life every now and then, and it's really about how you deal with it.
Yeah, when I was a kid and I went on a rampage, basically, I was knocking books off a shelf or something.
Yeah.
That's because that's all I had access to.
Yeah, and guess what? You lived through it, and you're not in jail, and you're not, you know, dead from self-inflicted wounds because you made some bad choices and couldn't get out of a SWAT team surrounding you.
It was a bad choice to knock down the books. I agree with that now, but I didn't see that then, you know? So
I like a good scream.
Yeah, a good scream is good. Don't do it here. You'll blow out the equipment.
No.
But yeah, it's everyone has to find a way to unleash
venting.
Venting,
right?
Venting is important.
That used to be a word. You could vent.
But then again, you got some stupidity on all sides. A 7-year-old Mary Blair elementary school student says he's confused about getting in trouble for trying to save the world from evil, though Thompson School District officials contend that the boy broke one of the school's absolute rules. This kid, he's in second grade. His name is Alex. He was suspended for throwing an imaginary grenade during recess on the playground. Now, Alex did not have anything in his hand at the time. He made no threats towards other people. Basically, what happened was he said he was going to save the earth by throwing the pretend grenade at an imaginary box that had something evil inside. And when he threw the grenade, he pretended that the box exploded, an apparent success. Now, his parents say he's very confused. They're confused as well. It makes it hard to enforce rules like this. Actually, you know, I think this is the, this is one of the parents saying this. Now, district policy does not prohibit imaginary weapons, but Superintendent Stan Shear said individual schools are permitted to add enhancements to the general student code of conduct. It fell under that set of local policy they have in that building, and it was shared with all parents in the community at the beginning of the year. Yeah, but how do you explain this to a kid? They can't have imaginary toys. As a whole student side, we just don't talk about, they say. It's a bit one-sided with the parent's point of view. Now, the parent says her son had been in trouble one other time at school, get this, for accessing other students' reading accounts on the computer. Sounds like a bright kid there.
Mm.
But she was not informed of him making threats or acting violent, and I don't see anything here to say that he was doing that in this case either. Now, according to the absolutes procedure of this school, a student is allowed two non-severe, non-suspension occurrences, and a third occurrence leads to a formal suspension. Every absolute that is broken following the first suspension automatically results in a suspension. This whole thing is stupid. I mean, it really is. A kid's throwing an imaginary grenade at an imaginary box, imaginary explosion, and this is something that's bad. You know, I'm sorry. You know how I feel about weapons, about actual threats. But imagination is not something that I think is ever really a threat.
You know, there's this story back in elementary school. There was this upperclassman girl, and she I guess, was, you know, showing me different things she was doing. She dug a hole, and she had, like, some little bottle of fluid and some wires and a battery, and she was planning to do, you know, it was just, like, you know, make-believe kind of thing, and it was, like, some kind of bomb or something, and this was, you know, during recess, and I just look at that, and I'm like, wow, I had no idea really what was going on, and it was totally... we looked at it as totally crazy now, and we would have probably been, you know, through all kinds of stuff just because of, you know, the implications had another student seen or opened their mouth at the time.
Do you still have her name? Because there is no statute of limitations.
No, I have no idea, like, who she was or whatever, but I have this memory of her, like, you know, like, teach, you know, just, like, befriending me and sort of, like, I was younger and she was an upperclassman and she had some sort of agenda or game involving, you know, this secret weapon she was making that really had absolutely no technical, like, ability to do anything other than a bunch of sort of ominous-looking parts. And I was probably, in hindsight, interested because I like learning how things work, and for the life of me, I couldn't figure out that it didn't work. Or I couldn't figure out that it worked at all, or what exactly she was doing, and that was probably why I was interested. I probably wanted to help, you know, engineer something that, you know, actually did work. But thank God I'm grown and I don't get approached by the same crazy people, I guess. But you know, massively in trouble we would have gotten for that kind of thing. Even I see kids like make, you know, they do make believe, or they play, you know, cops and robbers, or they shoot guns all the time, you know. Kids love making the machine gun sound, and, you know...
Well, the fact that when I was growing up, kids were doing that all the time.
Right.
And there wasn't as much gun violence in the streets. So
true.
It's not, you know, one leads to the other necessarily. It can, but it's not a given that if a kid is playing cops and robbers that he's going to actually want to shoot people in real life. That really depends on how you bring kids up and other things that you expose them to. So, yeah, I think we really need to let kids be kids, stop second-guessing and judging and making all these nonsensical rules, keep an eye on what's going on, and learn from them as well, because they have so much to teach us. You know, they don't have all this messed up set of values that we've accumulated over our decades.
And stop just letting them play Xbox and Halo and stuff.
Yeah, get outside and
seriously.
Do things like that. You know, we have a couple of letters. Dear Emmanuel, I just got around to listening to the January 29th show. I was excited that my last short and concise letter was read on the air, so you must be really thrilled now that a second letter is being read on the air. I did not hate the background music. I'm actually familiar with Sleep and enjoy their song Dragon Knot. You should listen to it sometimes. It's one of their better tracks. Of course, we play Dope Smoker,
mm-hmm.
Which lasts for 65 minutes. Our show only lasted for 45 minutes that week, too. It covered it pretty well, as it covered the entire night at the bar the week before that. Also, you should be able to make out the lyrics. While I like Sleep, I don't think I would listen to 60 minutes of them straight. Did the sports guys that came in after you play the last 15 minutes of the track? Signed, Dustin. Dustin, they did not. No, they went straight to sports. They did not play the, what's the genre called again, Kyle?
Stoner Doom.
Stoner Doom. Yeah, they did not play the Stoner Doom track.
I'm shocked.
I'm sorry to say. You know, I'm going to pop out of delay now. Stand by. Stand by, Kyle. We're going to...
I'm holding on. Brace.
Make this as smooth as possible.
Brace.
Oh, you okay?
Yes.
people have no idea what happened.
You got to hang on, man. That hurts sometimes.
It does. It does. So we're not taking any more phone calls. We will next week when we're on for a full hour, I believe. Unless there's another sports game coming up. But we are... What's going on tonight? We've got... today's what, the 19th?
Yes.
UMBC.
University Michigan?
I don't know what that stands for.
Basketball
well,
club?
The U probably stands for university, and the C probably stands for college.
Massachusetts.
Wait, why would they have both in the same? No, it could be university and college. That wouldn't make any sense. Okay, well, you know what? If you tune in 5 minutes, you'll find out, because I'm sure they'll tell us.
Something.
Well, here's another letter. In case you didn't see this, actually, no, it's not that letter, because we don't have time to see that. I'm sorry. That whoever wrote that letter, we'll get to that another time. hi, Emmanuel. I hope you're well. This is Mark over here in the UK, from a northern coastal town near Lancaster in Lancashire on our west coast. I'm a Linux geek, ham, a musician, a general science, and electronics geek. I'm writing to say thank you for making me laugh. I've recently lost my mother, and to keep my mind from dwelling on it, I found watching Hours of Hope really helped me through it, helped cheer me up. listened to Off the Wall when you were describing the Stoner Doom stuff. That really seems to have gone over well.
Yeah.
It really made me laugh out loud, so thank you for listening to my Spirits Manual. I've been following 2600 for several years, also Off the Hook, Off the Wall, much of the 2600 culture and characters, and was particularly thrilled as I was listening to your recent English surveillance trip.
Oh, cool.
On my MP3 player, that when Carl and I were tooting around the countryside, traveling through a place called Skipton on the Train, from my mother's house, just as you were describing, you both were coming through the same small town of Skipton. What do you think about that, Kyle?
That's amazing.
That is so awesome.
I love that.
I hope to even travel to one of the Hope conferences one day, if funds ever allow, maybe even share a cup of tea with you all. Best wishes. Thanks to yourself, Kyle, Bernie S., Kevin Mitnick. Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much for that letter, and best wishes to you and everyone over there. We had a fantastic time in that part of the world, and we look forward to going back again. Maybe take some pictures of more surveillance things, who knows, get into some mischief.
That's the best stuff, going out there, exposing yourself, and maybe meeting a couple people and then sharing it and then hearing back from people that are either from there, maybe they weren't part of the trip, but they can identify and relate and enjoy what we shared about our experience there.
Absolutely. Hey, we're out of time. Really went by fast, didn't it? But we'll be back next week, same time for a full hour. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Good night, Kyle.
Good night, E.
Stay tuned for basketball with the mystery UMBC entity. You want-